A couple of weeks ago, the postman delivered an envelope to the church. The envelope was hand-addressed in a large, shaky script, and it was addressed to Pastor at First Presbyterian Church. The return address was in California. And inside the envelope, when I opened it, was a typed letter and a postcard. The postcard was clearly old, and on the front was a color photograph of this church. The building addition was not present, so the photograph was definitely pre-1960, although it's really much older than that. So what did the letter that came with the postcard say? Well, I want to read it to you. It starts off, "Good morning." I don't know how they knew it was morning when I would be reading the letter. But it starts off, "Good morning. I hope this letter brightens your day. I was at an antique store here, and I found this old circa 1930 picture postcard of your beautiful church. It's an old-time classic for sure, so I said to myself, by golly, I think I'll send it home where it can be appreciated. Our heritage is important to us and should be preserved. Lots of changes, I suppose. Well, I gave $6 for it, and if you want it for $7 or $8 or so, why, that's sure okay. Throw in a little postage if you want." He goes on to say, "My wife used to laugh at me and say, if you hear from them, you'll have to take me out to lunch. I will be 91 years old this coming June 26th, and I'm still going strong, as far as I know. I like to call my little hobby a redistribution of happiness. Our world sure needs it. Thank you, Godspeed, and a great new year to you and your congregation." And it was signed Lowell Jorg, J-O-E-R-G. Lowell Jorg, Brookdale Assisted Living, Stockton, California. Now, I have to admit, my first inclination was that this was some sort of scam. We get a lot of weird things here at the church, a lot of questionable requests for money, which can make one over time a little cynical. But after thinking about it for just a moment, I realized that if this were a scam, it was an exceptionally poor one. The man had already sent us the postcard. Now, I have in the past purchased old postcards on eBay, and the average price, well, it's about $5 or $6. And he did send us a very nice postcard, too. So the next thing that I did was to conduct an internet search to see what I could learn. So I typed in the man's name, Lowell Jorg. It's helpful that it's an unusual name. And then I added postcard, and I hit enter. And the internet blew up. I had stumbled onto Lowell Jorg, the postcard man. Immediately, I discovered dozens of newspaper articles from all over the country about Mr. Jorg's postcards. For example, an article from Elyria, Ohio, tells of a postcard of the county courthouse sent to them by Mr. Jorg. The envelope had been addressed to Judge, and at the courthouse, the envelope was then delivered to the presiding judge, who just happened to have an existing collection of postcards of that courthouse. So he was thrilled to get another one. I found articles from Cadillac, Michigan, Kokomo, Indiana, Gaylord, Michigan, Watertown, New York, Hudson, Wisconsin, and lots of other places. Now, these newspaper articles are funny because they all say basically the same thing about how this postcard arrived in the mail and it was addressed to judge or principal or whatever. And the people were surprised and pleased to find this postcard of their building. And the articles all quote the accompanying letter. And I could see that Mr. Jorg, he's got one form letter that he personalizes on his computer. And every letter has the, by golly, as well as the reminder that he would welcome a few dollars back. At some point, it is clear that his wife has died because he begins to refer to her in the past tense, as he does in his letter to us. In 2015, a local reporter in the California town where Mr. Jorg lives interviewed him about this hobby of sending out postcards. We learned that Mr. Jorg had had a career in insurance, and he had had a hobby of stamp collecting. But he soon discovered that the postcards were far more interesting than the stamps. And so today, he likes to comb through antique and junk stores looking for these postcards, and he's been mailing them out for 25 or 30 years. He does say that only about 25% of the cards get a response. And when the reporter asked him why he does this, he said, "It makes people happy. What else can I do? I'm 87. The world sure needs it." And he's right. The world does need it. So, having received this in the mail, what did I do? Well, I wrote a sermon about it. No. The first thing I did was I took the postcard and I grabbed the camera and I walked out across the street to find the location where the original photo was taken. And this was more difficult because clearly it had been taken when Main Street was two lanes. And I had to stand in the fourth lane and I wasn't going to do that. So I backed up to the new sidewalk. And I took a picture from the same angle. And then I scanned the postcard. And I printed the old postcard and the new photograph side by side on a piece of paper. And this I mailed to Mr. George so he could see how the church has changed over the years. And I included a letter of appreciation. And also $20 for the postcard man to continue his work. So his scam really is working. Our reading for today is something of a postcard from the past. We are reading from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born in Israel in the late 6th century, about 25 years before the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. After the exile of 587 BC, when many of the Jews were carried away to Babylon, Jeremiah chose to remain in Jerusalem to help the people there rebuild their lives. He preached to them a message of hope over judgment. He helped lead the people to a new understanding of their relationship with God. And then at some point, for his own personal safety, he was forced to leave Jerusalem and flee to Egypt. And then shortly after that, he disappears from history. Today's reading focuses on Jeremiah's call from God to be a prophet. At the time, Jeremiah is a young man. And he writes to us that God's word came to him, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." In other words, God had ordained that Jeremiah was to be a prophet before he had even been conceived. However, like so many others, Jeremiah resists God's call, saying, "I am only a boy. I do not know how to speak." Now, these words remind us of the objections that Moses makes when God calls him from the burning bush. Moses says to God, "Oh, holy Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." God says to Jeremiah, the same thing that God says to Moses. Do not be afraid. I am with you. God tells Jeremiah, and do not say, I am only a boy. You will go to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. And then the Lord does something that we see with other prophets. God touches the mouth of Jeremiah and tells him, now, I have put my words into your mouth. This job of prophet is to speak the word of God to the Lord, to speak truth, to speak judgment, to speak hope. The job of the prophet is not to tell people what they want to hear or to say what is popular. The job of the prophet is to speak the word of God. The prophet may find themselves like Elijah, standing all alone with the word, but that word still must be spoken. We are told that God touches Jeremiah's mouth. And don't think for a moment that this was a gentle touch. It is not. In the book of Job, you will recall that Satan challenges God to test Job's faithfulness by taking away everything that Job has in order to see if he will curse God. And God sends a wind to the house where Job's family is eating. The wind strikes the house, flattening it and killing everyone inside. That verb, strike, that's the same word that we find in Jeremiah to describe God's touching Jeremiah's mouth. God did not caress Jeremiah's mouth to gently impart to him God's word. God pretty much smacks him. One doesn't receive the word of God and walk away whistling. The unfiltered word can sting. And so, armed with God's word, Jeremiah is now empowered to do God's work. God tells him, today, I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And it's difficult for us to grasp the magnitude of this responsibility that God places on Jeremiah. God appoints him over kings and presidents to do God's work. God gives Jeremiah the power to both create and destroy, to build and to pull down, to plant and to pluck up, to overthrow if necessary. That is his power. And Jeremiah will use this power through his ministry to confront kings, to turn the people back to God, and to bring hope to the broken, to be God's prophet. Today, we are going to install the newest classes of officers for this church, those who have been called by you and by God to serve as deacons and elders. And in these offices, they have duties to lead and to serve, to represent God's word and God's will. And with these offices comes God's power. But these people will also need our power, our support, and our prayers. Last Sunday, I preached from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and in that passage, Paul talks about the different gifts that have been given to Christians. And as the whole body of Christ, we each serve different functions. God has made some of us prophets, but has also made some apostles and teachers and healers and preachers and those who serve and those who lead and those who make desserts and more. Each calling And each gift is important to the whole body of Christ. And if we lose one, we all suffer. The postcard man, Lowell Jorg, he writes his letters and he calls his hobby a redistribution of happiness. And when I wrote him back, I told him that in the church, we view what he does as a ministry, his sharing happiness. And it is. Maybe he's found his calling, sending out old postcards, and he sends them in faith, not knowing what the reception will be on the other end. Will it make someone smile? Will it bring them happiness? Well, it certainly worked for me. As gifts go, Mr. Jorg's gift, it's a small one. But as Paul argued, it is to be as valued as the greatest evangelist. And honestly, no evangelist has ever made me smile as much as I did when I received that postcard in the mail. Jeremiah was truly one of the great prophets of God. But what he did is no more valuable than the work of anyone who follows God's call, whether they are an officer in the church, a Sunday school teacher, someone who cares for the homeless, one of the kids putting cans into buckets in the kitchen, or someone who mails out postcards just to make people happy. I urge you to listen for God's call. And when God does call, in whatever form it may be, answer. Find your gift and use it, because it is power. Amen.